Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123, and you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
To ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Thank you. fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And what a blessing is, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. Come on. And secure from all along. So why don't you lean? Yes, lean in, oh, lean in on the everlasting arm. Said, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim's way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Said, oh, how bright the paths grow from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. Come on and lean, yes, lean, and I am safe and secure from all along. Why don't you lean? Yes, lean in, come on and lean in on the everlasting arm. Say, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Lean in on the everlasting arm. Said, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arm. Come on and lean, yes, lean, as I am safe and secure from all along. Why don't you lean? Yes, lean in, oh, lean in on the everlasting arm. Come on and lean. Yes, lean in, I am safe and secure from all along. So why don't you lean? Yes, lean in, oh, lean in on the everlasting arm.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chuck. Stick around a minute, Dave. Welcome, brother. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love, for thy mercy, for thy great goodness. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified, our only hope. Father, we thank you for the works of this church. We thank you for our radio audience. We thank you for being able to preach the gospel to the whole wide world. We thank you, Father, for the ability to feed the poor, and the works that we do here for our jail ministry and our hospital ministry and our chaplains. We pray that you continue to bless them. Lord, our Lord, you know our trials and you know our suffering, our tribulation. We count it all joy to call upon you to have mercy upon us. We ask that you grant us wisdom and help us that we can continue to feed the poor and the homeless, the downtrodden, and preach the gospel to all the world, to every creature. Forgive thy servant, Father, for all of our sins, for my sins and failures. Discipline us as children and cast not us away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from us. Thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your grace and your goodness. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Brother Eddie Frazier, our jail chaplain, will give us a jail report. This man has baptized over 19,000 since 1998. Hi, Brother Eddie.
Good morning, Brother Kelly and church. Things are moving along pretty good. I want y'all to keep us in prayer right now. We got more volunteers than we have places to go. That's always a good thing. Y'all might notice that Victor has moved over to Crocker Hill. He is down at the gurney unit right now, pulled up right about now, with another volunteer named, that's Vito, another volunteer named Victor. If y'all might notice in the bulletin that our baptisms are a lot lower than they normally are this time of year, usually about twice that many. But we only count the ones that we actually lay hands on and baptize. That's the count y'all get. But I was talking to the chaplain last year, and with what he's baptized and what we've done, as of March of this year, the number was 2,500 men, the gurney unit alone. So he's doing a great thing. He's baptizing during the week.
You really got a chaplain in the jails that baptized. Yeah. Amazing thing. Let the church say amen.
So y'all just keep us in prayer. We'll continue to do what the Lord say, dude.
Amen. Yeah, how wonderful. Well, Vito resigned to become a preacher and a teacher at the Cockrell Hill congregation to help build that church, and we bid him Godspeed, and this has really worked out great for everybody. The trustees called me in this morning and spoke to me and said that they really thought that it was too much to have three associate ministers in a preaching rotation. We want to put all of our efforts into our future, which is Eric and William, especially our young student preacher. And so we are going to continue to put all of our efforts into that. We need housing for William. So if anybody in the Dallas area has a room for rent, please get a hold of us. We have been studying in the book of Acts, and I'd encourage you to study with us this morning. If you'll remember in the first chapter of the book of Acts, just prior to Jesus' ascension, he gave and repeated the Great Commission, Acts 1:8. He told the apostles, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." And in Acts chapter 2, the apostles are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and is evidenced by cloven tongues of fire that descended upon them, and a rushing mighty wind would fill the whole house. And they spoke in other languages. And then in the beginning in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter preaches the first gospel sermon. Then the terms and conditions of salvation is given in that chapter. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we're taught how to call upon the name of the Lord. And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then in Acts chapter 3, we saw how Peter and John went up to the Gate Beautiful, and there was a man who'd been lame over, he was 40 years old, been lame from birth, and he was a beggar. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Arise and walk." And he took him by the hand and raised him up. Now this man had never stood upon his legs. He had no muscles. He had no sense of balance. All of the Jews knew this guy. They passed him every day going into the temple, coming and going into the temple. And this man, walking and leaping and praising God, went into the temple in fulfillment of Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. "Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." And so Peter then preaches another sermon to there's a great group of people that are gathered together in Solomon's portico. And he preaches another sermon to the very murderers of Christ and confronts them that Jesus, the rightful heir of the throne of David, that they had taken by wicked hands and crucified and killed. And so the Sanhedrin, they're arrested by the Sadducees in Acts chapter 4 in the temple guard. And a great miracle takes place because they have a hearing before the Jewish Supreme Court the very next day. And just think what a miracle that is. How could just common, ordinary fishermen get a hearing before the Jewish Supreme Court one day? Well, it couldn't happen. It just couldn't happen. And so by this very miracle, God gets them right before the very Supreme Court. And Peter takes them on head on and tells them, "If we be examined this day for the good deed that we have done," and takes them on and said, "You killed and murdered Jesus Christ, the Son, the author of eternal life." And so there was a great miracle that was done there. And so the Sanhedrin threatened them and said, don't even let the name of Jesus pass your lips. And so let's read the story where we left off. We'll pick up in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. And being let go from the Sanhedrin, they told him, man, don't you speak any more in the name of Jesus. And the Greek there would indicate, don't let the word Jesus pass through your lips. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which made heaven and earth and sea and all's in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David said in Psalms 2, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness, they. Notice that third person personal pronoun. He asks that the whole church be able to do wonderful things, that they, the whole church, may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And so we'll begin to look at these verses. We'd like to announce to you this morning that we stand in need of your prayers. We're suffering many trials and tribulations, really to see what our metal is made out of, I'm sure. I've been off the radio. I know a lot of you out there in the radio audience listen to our program. I've been off the radio about 90 days. Our local station here had technical difficulties for a month. Then I had my eyes fixed. I had cataract surgery, and Vito and William and Eric preached to you for those 3 weeks. Then I've fell and broke my shoulder in four places, and so I've been out and been gone for about over a month. And just out of nowhere, we lost 90% of our funding for feeding of the poor. We have very, very little discretionary funds in this church. Most of all of our radio broadcast comes from pledges from people who say, I'll pay for Africa, or I'll pay for this, I'll pay for Europe, or whatever. Except in the past that we paid for Radio Oklahoma City, which we have dropped. I have discretion over that, and so we dropped that this past week. And Radio Abilene we dropped. And Radio Abilene decided they wanted to help us for a couple of months and see if we could work things out. And so if any of you folks out there would like to help us feed 2,000 meals a week, we'd be grateful. You'd be blessed. Psalms 41:1 says, blessed is he that remembereth the poor. The Lord will be with him in a time of trouble. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, and we'd encourage you to go on there and study. Acts chapter 4, verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Further threatening them was not idle threats. The murderous fury of the Jews will now build up over 40 years, signaling Israel, secular Israel's total rejection of the Christ. They kill Christians and do all sorts of madness for the next 40 years. The man who was healed was over 40 years old, showing how great that miracle was. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They were threatened by the hierarchy, And the apostles, they had been expected probably by this hierarchy of the Jews to flee the area as they had done prior to the crucifixion. But instead, they come to the church and go to their knees to Almighty God in prayer, and that's what I'm really asking you to do today. They wouldn't flee. The battle for the soul of Israel will go on for 40 years. Then they'll flee, just as Jesus told them in Matthew 24, verse 16. He told them in the verse prior to that, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. In Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. The Christians met this crisis by going to God in prayer. And again, that's what I'm asking you to do, is to pray for this church that we can continue to do the works that we're doing. We've cut everything that we can possibly cut in order to continue feeding the poor here. With one accord, that clause is used 11 times in the book of Acts and only once in Romans 15:6 and the rest of the New Testament. Unity is the great secret of that success of the early church. The clause, O Lord, shows a holy reverence for God. That term Lord means master. Thou art God that made heaven and earth. The reference to creation has the force of acknowledging that God has unlimited power over all that he has made. The church is in danger. We can have solace in the thought of God's absolute sovereignty. Now Peter is going to quote from the Old Testament a prophecy in Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Acts 4:25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David is said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine the vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. In Hebrew, that word is Messiah. Peter here teaches Psalms 2 as inspired scripture. To him, inspired scripture was not mere genius or literary skill or prudent foresight. It was the Holy Spirit as the author of scripture. Verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, that word again is Messiah, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. The death of Jesus was a fulfillment of Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Often when you study the whole psalm, when a New Testament writer just quotes like two verses of it, like Peter here done, if you study the whole psalm, you get a whole lot more information. Well, this Psalms 2, in its context, David had just had a great victory over the Philistines. David had conquered the stronghold of Zion, which was Jerusalem, the holy city, and the Philistine armies were coming together to attack him before he could establish his kingdom. Psalms 2 is remarkable for its eloquent change of persons. It's like a heavenly stage play with many different speakers. The prophet speaks. The enemies speak. God speaks. The Messiah speaks. The prophet speaks. All foretell of the coming of the Messiah and the result of his ministry. Let's look at it again. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. The prophet speaks. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That word is Messiah again. So here, this is the words that Peter is quoted in Acts chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. That word anointed is also used by Isaiah in Isaiah 61, speaking of God's great inspired preacher who's going to come in the future. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of God descended on Jesus at his baptism. Because the Lord has anointed me, Messiahed me, made me the Messiah, to preach the good tidings. That's the same word in the New Testament that we get gospel, good news from. Unto the meek, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of prison to those that are bound. It's not talking about a prison ministry. Eddie opens up the prison bars every time he goes and frees people from the binding of Satan's sin, how they're bound up in sin. And so Satan has all of us bound in sin, and Christ can free us from that. Now in this psalm, in verse 3, the enemies speak. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Their attitude, the sinful people's attitude, is that the gospel, the holiness of Christ, binds them and they want to cast it away. They don't want to be bound up by being Christians, being lions that become lambs. They don't want to have a change and become as a little child. They want to continue on in their wickedness. Now the prophet answers the enemies in verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Derision means in mocking ridicule. Wouldn't you hate to be mocked and ridiculed in front of the throne of Almighty God someday, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Verse 5. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. When did God speak to the Jews in his wrath? When Jesus came in judgment at the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the destruction of the Jewish nation, the temple, and the city of Jerusalem. Now in Psalms 2, God speaks. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The exact meaning of this verb here translated, have I set, has caused much discussion since the first century by the Jews especially. The rabbinic text, Midrash Telem, is the book of Psalms, has several meanings for the verb we translate set. I have set my king. I have anointed him, as in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, or I've made him Messiah. I have made him firm, or literally cast him up, as in Exodus 32, 4. I've raised him up, literally exalted him, as in Micah 5, 4, or Ezekiel 32, 30. Psalms 2, 6 again. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. No matter what the Jews and the Romans do to Jesus, God will overcome them by anointing him, raising him up, casting him up, making him firm, making him his anointed king, and setting him upon his holy hill of Zion. Zion is symbolic for God's people, for his church, for his congregation, and for his heavenly Jerusalem. The Hebrew writer quotes it in Hebrews 12, verse 22, but you are come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God who is judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Now back to Psalms 2. The Messiah speaks. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. I will declare the decree. The decree is what God had promised to King David, that a son or a descendant or a child would be born through him, through his family line, and in some miraculous way, God would be his father. Speaking to David in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and I sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed, thy child, after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This Messiah that's going to come, the throne of his kingdom is going to be established forever. I will be his father. In some wonderful way, God is going to be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commit iniquity, a better translation there would be, if sin is reckoned or counted to him, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. Jesus finished the work that God gave him to do. In John 17, verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work that thou gave me to do. Psalms 2, 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. When did God say, thou art my son? Well, when he was born, at his baptism, at his transfiguration, when he raised him from the dead, and when he set him at his own right hand. God declared the decree, thou art my son, before he was born. The angel told Mary in Luke 1:30, and the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. So what was the decree? Thou art my son, and he's going to be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there shall be no end. Again, when did God declare, thou art my son? At his baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Now, Jesus walked 90 miles to go down and be baptized. There's a lot of people that won't walk 30 feet down here to be baptized. It's absolutely amazing. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus to Galilee unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee, why comest thou unto me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the waters, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. When did God declare the decree and say, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? Well, again, it is baptism. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Again, when did God declare the decree? It is transfiguration in Matthew 17, 5. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When else did God declare him to be his son? In Romans 1, 4, it says he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. So he did it at his resurrection. The Hebrew writer quotes that again. In Hebrews 1, 5 and 5, 5. When does all these glorious things happen? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, we see, therefore being a prophet, King David, and acknowledging that God has sworn by the oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, in other words, a descendant, somebody out of your family, David, out of the fruit of your loins, according to the flesh, he, God, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He's saying this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Sheol in the grave, neither did his flesh see corruption. When did God swear to David that he himself would sit on his throne? In Psalms 132, verse 11, the Lord has sworn in a truth to David, he will not turn from it, that of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. Now, how could God do that? God is saying that some descendant that's going to come along, that I am in some way going, it would require a virgin, it would require a woman, a virgin, It would require God's word speaking that woman into being pregnant. It would require that woman bringing forth a child who is the Son of God, who is God himself. Look at the psalm again. The Lord has sworn in a truth to David, and he will not turn from it, that of the fruit of thy body, Mary was a descendant of David, will I sit upon thy throne. Now back to Psalms 2 again. God answers the Messiah. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen, the Gentiles, us, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, all kinds of written lessons. If you're in a country like China or North Korea or somewhere and you go there, be ready to print and just print everything that you can print, because the government will probably block you so you can't come back to that website again. Revelation chapter 2, verse 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now the psalmist said in Psalms 2, 9, he shall break them with a rod of iron. And in Revelations it says that he will rule the Gentiles, us, with a rod of iron. And as a vessel of a potter shall be broken in shivers, even if I received of my father. The rod means the discipline by which stubborn, rebellious men are broken. It is a rod of iron because it itself is unbreakable. In John 10:35, Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. The rod or the shepherd's staff is a staff of protection for the sheep. The Greek word, pomail, is dash them in pieces, is a figure of speech of the old nature of us rebellious people becoming completely broken and becoming new creatures. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Let's drop down to Psalms 2, verse 10. Now the prophet advises the enemies to submit to God and to his Messiah. Psalms 2:10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about this word trust here. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who has fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In the ancient world in Israel, the manslayer, the one who accidentally kills another man, you're striving with a man, he goes to hit you and you hit him, you knock him down, he hits his head on a rock, he dies. Now his family can exercise a law for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. God gave that law to limit violence. It simply means that if I've knocked your eye out, you can't murder me for that. You can't do no more than knock my eye out. If I knock your tooth out, you can't do any more than knock my tooth out. So the manslayer, if he could just make it to the horns of the altar in the city of refuge, and if he could lay hold upon the horns of the altar and hold on to that horns of the altar, the priest would protect him from the manslayer, from the man's family, and he could stay there. And if he held the horns of the altar, he could remain there until the high priest died. Jesus is our high priest. He has died for us. All we have to do is flee to the horns of the altar that God has provided for us by coming to Jesus in the acceptable way. In Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power. verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. If a dead Savior is good enough to save me, a dirty, rotten sinner like me, from all of my sins, how much more powerful is a living Savior seated at God's own right hand? Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world and that which is to come, far above all kings and princes and magistrates and angelistic beings, either good or bad. Ephesians 1:22, has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's not just the ruler, but he's the head of the body, and life comes from the head. You know, you can cut your hand off. You can break your arm and your shoulder in four places like I did. But that doesn't kill you. But without the head, the body's dead. Life comes from the head. Everything comes from the head, and Christ is the head of the body of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And these last four verses describes Christ's glorious resurrection, his exaltation to God's own right hand, his supreme dominion over all things, and him being the head of the church, which is his body on earth. Now back to where we began. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed or made Messiah, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Holy child Jesus, certain critics have attempted to deny that Jesus identified himself as a suffering servant, but here that word servant is also used. Verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Perhaps the most profound question of theology appears in what's stated here. The same problem on a cosmic scale that appears here more limited in Judas fulfilling the prophecy of Judas. Did God foreordain such rebellion against his authority? No, God just knew what people would do and give us a prophecy of it. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness they may speak thy word. This is reminiscent of Hezekiah's prayer in 2 Kings 19, in which he spread the insulting letter of Sennacherib, king of the Assyrians, before the Lord in the temple, and prayed to God. See the words of Sennacherib. See what this guy has said about you, Lord. The praying saints did not propose any solution. They left the matter totally in God's hands, just like we do today. God's going to have to solve our problems. We can't solve them. And so we're asking him in his mighty power. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you guys are the cattle. And so he'll make these things right. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com or www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Acts chapter 4, verse 30. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. This was a petition that God would continue to perform the great signs and wonders as the healing that he has just done of this crippled man at Gate Beautiful. The apostles accurately read the connection between such signs and the preaching of the word, because the sign only is a demonstration that the words coming out of the prophet's mouth are from God. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. The place was shaken. This gave a visible sign of the promise of the miraculous power that the 12 would continue to be honored. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not a repetition of the wonder of Pentecost, but a continuation of that apostle's power from on high. And then this great verse in verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that anything of the things he possessed were their own, but they had all things in common. That just meant that they shared. Those who had much gave, and those who had little took little. We again want to request your prayers. We stand in need of your prayers. Just out of nowhere, we lost 90% of our funding for feeding the poor. We have cut everything that we can cut around this church in order to continue to feed the poor, because we're going to do that. And so if any of you folks would like to help us feed 2,000 meals a week, we'd be grateful, the poor would be grateful, and you'd be blessed. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We work hard every week to preach that gospel. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you'll just simply put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you, believe that God cannot lie. And God said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Put your faith and trust and confidence in that and come. Come, march right down to the front here. Make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Put your faith and trust and confidence in him. Repent of your sin. Be baptized into Christ. Have all your sins washed away. Won't you come now while we stand and sing? If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, come now.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the Unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.